Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with your host, crisis dramatist, playwright, life coach, NLP master practitioner, and independent filmmaker, Phyllis Saline, as she empowers humanity to raise their consciousness with family-oriented dramatic plays that honor the power of choice.
And thank you for tuning in to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio with me, your host and crisis dramatist. I am Phyllis Helene. Today is Friday, October 4th, 2013, and I'm coming to you live from the East Coast, the DMV area. Let's take time to raise our consciousness. And the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? Today on our show, our guest is Cy Singletary, CEO and founder of Thurston Whitaker Character Building Program. Cy was inspired by her mother, Ginger Whitaker. Her mother is a retired teacher of 30 years who taught English in an all-girls cluster. She started an etiquette class, and after school, students would ask her to show her the proper way, show them the proper way to do things. So in addition to after-school etiquette classes, she and Cy chaperoned events to the ballet, the opera, the symphony, to see plays, and various other field trips to practice the formal manners that they were learning. And eventually, due to interest, she created Teen Etiquette, Lessons in Grooming a Gentleman. And lastly, Whitaker and Singletary created The Charming Child, Etiquette for Boys and Girls. Thurston Whitaker has expanded his program, and they provide seminars and training to teach teachers how to implement their program. So we're going to bring in Cy shortly. And for those of you who are joining me for the first time, I am a crisis dramatist. I decided to contribute to the empowerment of helping young adults to stand on excellence by creating family dramas. As a crisis dramatist, I write about the issues that plague our culture. I see the results that stem from various crises that hurt the growth of humanity and society, and then I then create storylines that implement the crisis. I put characters into difficult situations that center around a particular crisis, and I make the characters struggle to learn lessons, to find a solution. And I present hard lessons for the characters to learn from. I created the plays as a catalyst to help young adults value human life, to help young adults operate on a higher level of being, and to help young adults make the decision to stand on excellence. I believe playwriting is an art form that can create a moral change. And sometimes a visual, such as a dramatic play, can have an impact on life decisions and choices. I believe plays help people think, and I believe that art changes things. I wrote the Raising Consciousness Stage Play Collection, which consists of four plays, because I see that there's a crisis attacking our young adults today. And that crisis is the lack of understanding the power in the choice. And the benefit of the play series is to help position young adults into the understanding of the power in the choice. Because you will always hear me say, the reality is you can do something that takes you 15 minutes to get into, and that same something can take you 15 years to get out of, and in some cases, a lifetime. There are young adults in prison today because the verdict is 20, 25, 30 years, or because of something that took 15 minutes. Choice is a lifeline. A choice can put you in prison, and a choice can keep you out of prison. Now, the first play to come out of the Raising Consciousness stage play collection is titled Don't Lose Your Head. It is a story about a family who struggles to deal with the emotional residue left behind after a tragic accident caused by a negative choice, lies, alcohol, and teen drinking and driving. Now, once again, our wonderful guest today is Cy Singletary. And as I said, she's the founder of Thurston Whitaker Character Building Program. Now, today's title is Character Education. Now, the dictionary states that character means reputation, good reputation, moral strength, self-discipline, a statement about one's behavior, qualities of a person. Okay? Now, a character reveals who you are. So that's why it's important that you know yourself, knowing that you're going to do the right thing in life. You have to create a value system that you set for yourself and live by that every day. Now, when I was researching this topic, character education, I came across some quotes written by Professor Thomas Licona. And one of the quotes that I really liked states, "Good character consists of knowing the good, desiring the good, and doing the good, habits of the mind, habits of the heart, and habits of action." And I urge you all to check out characterinstitute.org as well as our guest Cy's character education program, Thurston Whitaker Character. It's a wonderful program, so I think it's very important that parental listeners and educators online go ahead and check it out. I believe that all educational institutions should implement character education in its curriculum, because understanding that a moral community is essential is key. Cultivating values such as kindness, compassion, cooperation, and self-control starting in elementary through high school. Being carried out throughout the educational system, I think that would be a win-win situation for society. And I believe the decrease in teen drinking and driving and random shootings among young adults, I believe that decrease would be, you know, would be major. Another quote that I always like is a quote written by Theodore Roosevelt, and it goes, "To educate a man in mind and not in character is to educate a menace to society." And I'll repeat that. To educate a man in mind and not in character is to educate a menace to society. So I want to take this time to bring Cy Singletary in to talk about the Thurston Whitaker Character Building Program. Cy, how you doing, Cy? Come on in.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, because we're ready to raise our consciousness about character education.
Well, Phyllis, thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this and for bringing in Thurston Whitaker as an expert in the field and discussing this, you know, and listening to the history of some of what we've done and how the program started. It always sounds so amazing to hear everything that we've done with the kids, but really a lot of our work is something that comes from the heart, and it's something that we feel really passionate about, and it is so great and amazing and fulfilling to meet someone like you who's also got the same passion and who's used your artistic talent in such a different way to bring to light some of what it is that we do at Thurston Whitaker.
Yes, thank you. Wonderful, wonderful. So now, tell us what took you on this journey to create Thurston Whitaker, and tell us a little bit about Thurston Whitaker as well.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the name. So let me ask you this. When you hear the name Thurston Whitaker, what do you think of? What comes to mind?
Well, okay, now because now you know what, because I did my research, I know what Thurston Whitaker is about. But okay, so I don't know if that's fair. But when I heard the name Thurston Whitaker, I figured it was an educational program. I wasn't quite sure what it was about until I went on the website and I saw it was a character building program.
Okay, so that's kind of close. Well, Thurston Whitaker is rooted in an educational history to the degree that it's a family name. Now, I picked the name. Thurston Whitaker is named after my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my uncle. And there's Thurston Whitaker the first, Thurston Whitaker the second, and Thurston Whitaker the third. And so I chose that company name because it's a family name. And it sounds so amazing. I don't think there's a better name than Thurston Whitaker.
Okay.
it sounds amazing. And the third reason, and really the substantive reason that I chose the name, is because they were all, well, my great-grandfather and grandfather are deceased, but my uncle Skip, Thurston Whitaker the third, is still with us. And all three of these men are Southern gentlemen, and they exemplify through their life how one is supposed to treat other people and how you're supposed to behave and what it means to have character and what it means to live your life with a moral compass. And so I felt like Thurston Whitaker had that, the name Thurston Whitaker embodied all of that. And the name sounds so successful and accomplished, and it also sounds like a name that has a lot of family history, which we do have in terms of decorum and behavior and how you treat other people. So that's how I chose the name, Thurston Whitaker. Now, the company came about because I had graduated from college. I graduated from Spelman College. And then I went home to Connecticut to apply to medical schools and to teach while I was a teaching tutor while I was applying to medical schools. And I applied to a few, and I got waitlisted at one school, but then ultimately I was not asked to join the class. And so meanwhile, while I was applying, my mom, Ginger Whitaker, she had her after-school program teaching the girls etiquette and going on these fabulous, awesome trips. And so I chaperoned. Yeah, they were awesome. I'll tell you about a few of them. So I chaperoned with her on them, and over the course of a couple of years, you know, the girls would leave middle school, go to high school, and come back, and they, you know, would say to my mom, you know, Miss Whitaker, I love that etiquette program, and thank you so much. It really changed my life. And some of the testimonials were, you know, it helped. Now, they didn't call them testimonials, but they were saying that this program gave them the confidence to apply to colleges, to apply to higher tier colleges, to feel comfortable on interviews because they would know what to wear and they would know how to sit appropriately and write thank you notes. And all of the things that my mother taught them really changed the path of their life and the trajectory of their life. And I saw that with my own eyes. And so after I didn't get into medical school, I was pretty sad about that. And part of that sadness was that I didn't know what I was going to do to add value to other people's lives. Like, how is my life going to be of value if I don't do something that changes somebody else's life for the better, you know? And so you get it because you do the same thing too. So yeah. I decided that I was going to turn my mother's after-school program into a business. And so from there, that's when Thurston Whitaker was officially born. And I guess that would be Thurston Whitaker the fourth if I included my great-grandfather, grandfather, and uncle. But so I founded my company January 8th, 2003. And, you know, it's grown from there. It's grown from just the actual curriculum to really being something much more dynamic and accommodating for a different, you know, for a vast array of audiences.
Okay. So your mother's etiquette classes is what gave you the idea to implement character building program, correct?
Well, what gave me the idea was how the change that I saw in the girls and the recognition that they had that this education gave them an opportunity. That's what it was. It was, yeah, because I grew up with this, and I think that you know, people of a certain age grow up
mm-hmm.
with it, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you take a lot of this for granted. And so it was really the girls coming back and saying, basically saying, this character building education, these rules that you gave me afforded an opportunity for me that I would have never had I not had that program. So they're coming back just to visit my mom and say thank you. To me, that translated into now they have this amazing opportunity to just to do things that maybe they didn't want to do before. They didn't feel comfortable doing before. And they were always smart enough to do it. And these young ladies were already ladies, and they were already well-behaved. They just didn't know the formal rules, you know, of etiquette. And so once they learned that, it gave them the confidence to go forward and to take their lives in a different direction, you know. And so this type of education can help people at different levels of awareness. And we'll get into that, you know, further on in our discussion when we discuss some of the actual activities and things like that. But the initial reason that I turned my mom's brainchild into a business is because of the testimonials of those girls. I saw how I could do something on a wider scale that would give that would help. Yeah, that would help other people.
Okay. Well, tell us about you know, the program, the character building program, and talk a little bit about the gracious living, lessons in gracious living. Talk to us a little bit about that and self-esteem and things of that nature.
Sure. So when my mom created the program, she was working with all girls. So the lessons were curtailed for young girls. And so she's a teacher. She's seen curricula for 30 years, and she's seen teachers got student workbooks for 30 years and tests for 30 years and all of that for a long time. So she was able to take that knowledge, and she's also a published author and an avid reader, and so she was able to take all of those talents and create content for her after-school program. And so it was geared towards just girls, and, you know, we came up with the title Lessons in Gracious Living. So it's a teen etiquette, Lessons in Gracious Living. That's the whole title. And so it's set up to have four different units: Your Best Self, which talks about the appropriate presentation, appropriate clothes, age-appropriate makeup, you know, how to stand appropriately, how to walk appropriately, appropriate way to sit, exercising, being fit, eating healthy food, things of that nature. So that's a brief overview of Your Best Self. Yeah, it's a pretty powerful curriculum in terms of everything that goes into it. The second unit is a social leadership. Social leadership teaches the girls or whomever has it about giving back to society and being a civil a good citizen, being a good sportsman when you win, being a good sportsman when you lose, you know, not being a sore loser, doing community service because you're doing that from your heart and not because it's punitive, and to just be the type of citizen that gives back to the community. And so all of our units have lessons and activities. And some of the activities that they would do for community services, going to convalescent homes and having a tea party with the seniors and painting their nails, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so those are some of the activities for the community service. The community service unit, each unit has its own magic, if you will. The Your Best Self unit visibly and immediately shows any participant how they can look, how if they just change the uniform, if you will, then you can be the person in that uniform. So let me be specific. So let's say you're wearing the clothes of today where your underwear are showing and your pants are sagging and you can see these people's behinds and the clothes are, you know, oversized and just and that uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's right or wrong, people make snap judgment decisions based upon the uniform you have on. So if that's the uniform you're wearing, people are going to make a decision. And that person wearing it has already made a decision by putting that on, okay?
The second thing is this.
If you put someone in different clothes, it doesn't change everything on the inside, you know, automatically, but it gets the ball rolling because now this person sees themselves differently on the inside and outside. So now this person says, okay, this is something that I can do because I've taken that first step. And this character, and this right here is where the character building part comes into it, okay? And so part of the reason that people make the choices they make is because you make the choices based upon the options that you have. So, you know, Ms. Phyllis, if you have 79 options, you're going to make better choices than if I have 4 options. You have almost 20 times more options than I have. I don't know why I picked the number 79. That's not an even number. I like math. I should have just picked 80. We're going to make it 80 choices for easy math. All right, I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, great. So if you have 80 choices and I have 4, you have 20 times more options than I do. So, you know, I'm going to make the best decision with what I have, but all I have is 1, 2, 3, 4, and you have 80, okay?
Right.
So this program gives these kids 80 options, 100 options, 1,000,000 options. To see themselves in a different light and then to educate them so that where they see themselves or where they know they can go, they have that opportunity to get there. And that is the amazing part. And that's why all of the units, and I only touched on 2, we have 4, I only touched on 2, but that's why the cohesion within the total curriculum is something that's very powerful. So the 3rd unit is social literacy. Social literacy is a lot of fun. In that unit, there are lists of books on etiquette, books on doing things the right way. We also teach them how to write thank you notes, what goes into thank you notes, when should you write a thank you note, how long you have to write one. We talk about the quality of stationery that people should use. We talk about the importance of RSVPing and why it's necessary and why it's mandatory and what it means if you don't RSVP. Writing a friendly letter, just writing a letter to someone. You know, I got a gift in the mail from a friend of mine. He's actually in the DMV area. And it was a video and a book on something that he thought I would like based upon knowing me. And there was a letter in the gift, and I still have it. And I was like, oh, this is so amazing. He wrote me this letter. It was such an amazing letter, and I still have his gift, and I still have his letter. And so we have in there also friendly letter writing, because when was the last time you got a letter? You know, you get a letter in the mail, it puts a smile on your face, you read it more than once, you keep it, you save it, you love it, it's awesome, because you just never get them. You know what I mean?
That's the 3rd unit, social literacy.
Social literacy, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the unit that encourages the reading and the letter writing, correct?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to ponder on that. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the wonderful Cy Singletary.
Welcome to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with your host, crisis dramatist, playwright, life coach, NLP master practitioner, and independent filmmaker, Phyllis Saleen. as she empowers humanity to raise their consciousness with family-oriented dramatic plays that honor the power of choice.
And we're back, and the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence via character education? Now, the question, why is character education so important? Before Cy answers that question, I want to implement another quote. That question was asked to Thomas Licona, Professor Thomas Licona. Why is character education so important? And his answer was, and I quote, "Civilizations decline when their moral core deteriorates. One of our most basic responsibilities as adults is to sustain our civilization by passing on the values that are the foundation of our society." And that is what I think Thurston Whitaker is all about. Wouldn't you say so, Cy?
I would say so, Ms. Phillips. I certainly would.
Okay, so now you were talking about social literacy. Give us information about the social graces, and you know what does that detail? Mm-hmm. What does that detail in unit four? And then, of course, I want you to tell everybody how they can get your information, and you know, because there are a lot of parental listeners out there who may homeschool, and I think this is something wonderful that they can implement in their homeschool body, as well as PTA parents. They might want to bring this up in the meetings to their schools, so some of the schools will be willing to do this. I think this is an excellent course to help young adults stand on excellence. So talk to us a little bit about the social graces and the details.
Okay, sure. The social graces, that's our last unit or our fourth mm-hmm. unit. And one of the things that we do that is beneficial for homeschools, because we do work with homeschools, we work with Christian schools, charter schools, et cetera, is we custom design a pacing guide for each school, depending upon how much time they have, if they're preparing for something in specific, or if they'd mm-hmm. like to just have it as a part of their academics. And so we always interconnect all four units and take lessons from all four of them so that they run kind of at the same time or within a week, so you get a little bit of everything as you go through the year. And mm-hmm. the social graces, that's the unit that everybody looks forward to. That's when you've got your dining etiquette lessons, and you know what to do when you sit down at a table and there are a couple of forks, and we have a fork and a spoon at the top of the plate, and the napkin's off to the left, or maybe it's in the plate and there's like four glasses, and oh my goodness, what do I do? So we break all of that down utensil by utensil, plate by plate, cup by cup, so that no one is left behind. Everybody understands what's going on, so that when you're in that scenario, you will feel completely comfortable. So that's the dining etiquette unit. That's also the unit where people practice their out-on-the-town behavior. When you're going to the opera, if you're going to a play, whether you like it or not, if you don't speak Italian and you're at an Italian opera and you are sleepy, that's too bad. And the thing that's kind of funny about these lessons and reading some of the lessons and taking some of the kids out and chaperoning is that I can hear my mother's voice from when I was like 6 or 7. You know, and I'm like, no.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, when you go out and you'd have to sit up with your back straight, and, you know, when we would eat at the house, or if I, you know, was at home walking from one room to the next or something like that, my mom would correct me. I'd be like, Mom, do you remember doing that? And she'd, no, I don't. I'm like, Mom, yeah, you did. I just, you know, remember my mom saying, you know, when I walked, I had to walk with a certain pace, and I had to walk like I had some place to go. And so that is how I walk even to this day, because that's what my mother said. And so when I see that in words written down, I'm like, Mom, you said this to me. And when I sit down, you have to sit with your back straight. You have to keep your knees together, cross up the ankles. And sometimes, And sometimes if
that's
I slouch, there it is. If I slouch sometimes, I'll straighten up my back because I just, it's like automatic now. And so those are the lessons where you practice those in, you know, in your club sessions, in your etiquette club sessions. And then when you go out on the town and it's a long night for a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old or whatever, you still have to do the right thing. So going out on the town is when you combine your appropriate dress, when you combine your dining etiquette, and also you're out at the play, you know, at an opera or what have you type of behavior, all the way until you come back in the house and you take your heels off. You know?
That's right.
Those lessons are kind of a compound lesson. And here's the character building part in that. Some of the reason that our society or civilization, as it was stated in the quote that you gave, was more genteel and more polite is because adhering to the rules is not always very comfortable. Sometimes it's not exactly 100% what you want to do, but if everybody knows the rules and if everybody is abiding by the rules, then we have a civil society. Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I live in New York City, and I ride the train. And so I do. Everybody rides the train. So when I'm on the train, I give up my seat to, you know, older people, to pregnant women, and to, you know, sometimes, you're a mom and you've got your kid, and there's the carriage and you got your bag from Target that's shoved in the top of the carriage. So I just get up because she's got a lot going on and let her handle little Junior and all of that. Okay. So those are the rules. And those used to be the standard rules. Every man is not giving up his seat. Sometimes you'll see women giving up seats for other women and the men are sitting there. And they know they're wrong because they won't make eye contact with you. And sometimes they think like they're asleep. I'm like, you're not asleep. I just thought you closed your eyes. You were just meeting AM New York. You're not sick.
That's right.
I mean, I don't call them out on it. I might give them a little look, a little side eye look from the side of corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever confront them. But here's my example. There was a couple, a man and a woman, and this other man, and we were all going to sit down. So the man from the couple sat down, I sat down, and then the other man sat down, and the girl didn't get a seat. So the boyfriend is on my left. He was a big dude, too. He was a stocky dude. Like he played for the New York Jets or something. And, yeah, he had a thick neck, too. I was like, oh, God, please don't let a fight go down. So the strong dude was on my left, and the other dude was on my right, and I'm in the middle. And I'm like, oh, no. So the guy on my left, the boyfriend, is mad because his girlfriend didn't get a seat. And the guy on my right was looking at him like, I don't have to give up my seat for her. So in my mind, the first thing I'm thinking is, I don't want them to start fighting. Should I get up? So if they do, they are hitting each other and not me. Or should I just be cool and just wait and see what happens? So I wasn't getting the vibe that they were going to fight. So I just stayed in my seat. And the reason that there was that confusion is because both of them were wrong. Both of them were wrong. The boyfriend should have made sure that the girlfriend got a seat. Okay, because the two of us, me and the girl and I, should have both had seats. Unquestionably, we should have had seats. That's the rule because they're both women and they're both men. Now, the other rule that should have been followed was the boyfriend looked like he was like 30 or something like that. He looked like he was a healthy man, and the man on my right was an older man. So this boyfriend was supposed to yield to this older man. So the boyfriend didn't want to do it. But those were the rules. He would have been a little uncomfortable or whatever. but those are the rules. And so the fact that neither of those men went by the rules initially, that's what caused the confusion. And that's why she ended up standing. So the boyfriend gets up to give up his seat to his girlfriend, but he was not happy about it. So then he's given the side eye, or the actual full eye, to the older man, and then the girl kind of jumps in it, and she was like, no, it's okay. So she's trying to calm him down. See, none of that would have happened if both of those men should have waited until the silver sat down, and then the younger man yielded to the older man, and then everything would have been fine. So that's a typical example of what happens when we don't know what to do. And it's because nobody wants to be a little uncomfortable. And I will say this, there are some times when I am tired. And when you live in New York City, and if you go grocery shopping, you go to the gym, which are two normal things that you can do. If you have a car, you can just throw your gym bag in the car, throw your groceries in the car. But if you're in New York and you have like your big, heavy bag, and then you go grocery shopping, you've got these heavy bags, you're on the train, it's crowded, and I give up my seat, but I don't want to. I will sit down because I'm tired. I just got out of my Pilates class or Bikram yoga or whatever, and I want to sit down. But I stand up and I give up my seat because it's the right thing to do. And then I see these men sitting down, and they don't want to give up their seat, and they know what they're supposed to do because they're not looking. And it's just, you know, people need to be a little uncomfortable so society as a whole can run more civilly. And be more you know, respectful than fighting over seats. It's a sad thing to see on a regular basis.
That's right. And that's why I think character building education is very important. And starting in the elementary school level is great. Because by the time you get to high school, honestly, if you haven't had that, it's very difficult to learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, we can help our young adults, you know, learn it, but the place to start is at that 5-year-old point, you know, kindergarten, first grade, and then to instill that value system, to instill, you know, qualities like honesty and kindness, and like you said, you know, learning proper etiquette. I think that is something that is very important. So now, do you have a lot of schools contacting you for your program information and things like that? I mean, how does that work for people who are listening on the line? Will they just give you a call?
You can give me a call. You can send me an email. You can send a hologram. But I will give you all the options, and people can contact me the best way that, you know, they can. The website is thurstonwhitaker.com, and that spells T-L-A-C-O-M. H-U-R-S, like Sam, T, like Tom, O-N, like Nancy, W-H-I-T, like Tom, A-K-E-R. So that's thurstonwhitaker.com.
And I'm gonna ask you that again, too. I just wanted you to put that out there. Now, talk to us a little bit about charm and poise.
Charm and poise.
That's in your program. So
it is. So charm and poise is when you've taken your lifestyle to another level. It's when you've got a cranky pants. They see the glass half full, half empty, cracked at the bottom, and liquid oozing out. Colleague, you've got a Debbie Downer, you know, like neighbor, or just a nosy fuddy-duddy. So you, who are the recipient of all of this, you've got to maintain your poise. When you're tired from, you know, your group exercise class, and you've gone grocery shopping at Fairway, and you're tired, instead of getting up and rolling your eyes at somebody, you just stand up and give up your seat, and then don't even feed into it. It's when you keep it together at whatever level where you are, and then also emanate kindness. That's poise. And so you can, when you practice anything repeatedly, then it doesn't bother you anymore. Like, those certain petty things are no longer a stimulus to bother you. When I first moved to New York, when I had to give up my seat to women and there were men sitting down, that used to get on my nerves.
Right.
And it used to bother me. Now it doesn't bother me. It's still something that I still prefer to sit down, but you know what? I get up, no big deal, and I'm thankful that I'm able to stand up and that I'm able to be physically able to get up and give up my seat, and then I just, you know, you hold the pole and read a book or whatever, you know? And so poise
right.
is when, in the face of something that's uncomfortable, either that stimulus doesn't bother you or either that stimulus bothers you or it doesn't, but you're still able to behave within your own realm of character and also emanate kindness, and that is poise.
Right. I like that. You behave within your own realm of character.
That's right.
I like
that's
that.
Right.
That's
right.
Because
that's a choice. My mom told me when I was younger, growing up, if I did something, now my mom is an artist in her own right, and so the way that mm-hmm. she said these things to me were always softer and more motherly than the way that I'm going to repeat the lesson that I heard. So these are not her exact words, but this is what I extracted out of it.
Okay.
So when my mom when I would do something, my mom would say, you know, either you did it or you did not do it. Now mm-hmm. I was raised as an only child. So obviously I did it because you know you didn't do it, so I did it. But process of elimination, not too difficult. But anyway, so the choices were either you did it or you didn't do it, and then if you mm-hmm. did it, either it was a mistake or it was intentional. But I was never allowed to give an excuse. I was never allowed to give an excuse if I opened my mouth to inhale oxygen to give my mother an excuse, she stopped me. And I had to be responsible for my choices for as early as I can remember, Ms. Phyllis. As early as I can remember, I was responsible for my choices, which meant I suffered the consequences or I enjoyed the benefits.
There you go.
And so
there you go.
And then there it is, you know? And so that instills, you know, the reality that you always make choices to behave a certain way. Either you're going to behave within your realm of character or you're not, but it's still your choice. So I can, you know, be irritated and then ask out if I choose to or not. And as I've gotten older and, you know, really appreciative of people who've invested in me, my mother, my father, my grandmother, mm-hmm. my great-grandmother, who I had the pleasure of knowing for 15 years, and, you know, my high school, my college, my friends, just other people who've invested in institutions who've invested in me, you really don't have a choice but to behave within that realm of character, because way too much time has gone into Cy Singletary. Way too much effort and way too many people have their stamp on me and have put their name on me for me to be doing anything else but what I'm doing. And that's
right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And, you know, it's like I said, Cy, earlier, that is where I see a lot of the problem with the young adults today is the lack of understanding the power
mm-hmm.
in the choice. That's where I see the problem is. And that's when you don't understand the power and choice, you know, like I say all the time, then that's when you're going to do anything, because that's when anything goes, because you're not thinking
right.
about the consequences of your actions. And I think programs like character education is an excellent program. It's a great start to help turning our young adults into accountable, responsible
mm-hmm.
citizens. Because, I mean, that's what we want. We want productive members of society. And I always
okay.
say, I mean, you can go to school and you can learn that stuff, and that's wonderful, but I always say homework starts at home. So we got, you know, I mean, you got to start at home.
That's right.
Really, you know, that character development has to start at home. Now, yes, there will be those who don't get that at home. And if you can get that in the educational system, then that's wonderful. But it must start at home. What I'm going to do is just take a brief break. Everybody, yeah. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and Cy. We're going to be right back with Cy to raise our consciousness on character building and the question on the table, how we empower young adults to stand on excellent, and I want to talk about which values are really important. And once again, we're going to take a break and just hang out with me. Thank you so much.
Welcome to ICR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with your host, crisis dramatist, playwright, life coach, NLP master practitioner, and independent filmmaker, Phyllis Saleem, as she empowers humanity to raise their consciousness with family-oriented dramatic plays that honor the power of choice.
And we're back. And the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence via character education with the dynamic Cy Singletary. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions that was also asked of Professor Licona was, which values are really important? And he stated, and I quote, "I would include qualities such as honesty, compassion, courage, kindness, self-control, cooperation, diligence, or hard work, all the kinds of qualities that we need to both lead a fulfilling life and to be able to live together harmoniously and productively." Would you agree, Cy?
Wow, absolutely. Those characteristics, I mean, you need all of them. When you first posed the question, I thought that I was going to have to pick one, which I'm glad I don't have to do that. Because there is, you know, a synergy with all of them. You know, individually, they're good and necessary, but when they are all a part of the core of who you are and work synergistically, then you've got the kind of citizen that we all want to have. Now, to answer the question specifically, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence, it's really about giving people options through education. And that's why education is so powerful. Education can come in a play, just like you know what you've done, because you've got the content in there, which is what people need. You need the content. You need to know, hey, you need to know XYZ. You haven't been taught XYZ. Now I'm going to give you XYZ. So you've got the content. You've been taught it. Now let's think about it critically. One of the things you said earlier, and I paraphrase, is that through the topics of your plays and the way that they're presented, they're put in situations, you know, where they've got to make decisions. And so the second thing is decision-making/culpability. When you make a decision, you are also culpable for that decision, and you are responsible for that decision, and you have to take ownership of that. You know, culpability has a slightly negative slant, so I'll use the word ownership. You know, and in our society, we've gotten so far away from ownership of our own decisions, and everything is okay, and everything is right, and everything you think is fine, and it just isn't. There are some things that are wrong, some things that are right, and all things that you do are the products of your choice. And when we displace that responsibility, then people don't have the impulse or the urge to do the right thing because there are no consequences for it. And then on the flip side, you know, people get rewarded for the good things that they do. That's lopsided. It's like, okay, so you're in your right mind and you're fine and you're great and awesome when you make a good decision. But when you make a bad decision, or a decision that has negative consequences, then all of a sudden, that same mind that was able to make good choices is now not responsible for the bad choices? That's ridiculous.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the The irony of that is, by not allowing people to be culpable for their negative choices or bad choices, is that it takes away the humanity of that very person, because all human beings make mistakes. All human beings make, you know, wrong choices or bad choices at times. We're all guilty of being, you know, self-serving at times. And that is part of humanity. That is, you know, that is a part of what makes a person a human being. And so to be so lopsided, that's a part of the reason that we have the problems, you know, that we have. So in having the etiquette and character education curriculum, it builds a person's core understanding, because you're giving them this education. It's like expecting someone to do calculus, okay, but you've never taught them how to count. Well, before I can do a derivative, I have to know what the concept of one means. What is 1, 2, 3 through 10? So part of a person's part of the problem is there's that lack of education. It's not happening at home, and we've got to have it in the schools, because now we're at a point in our society, in our total American society, that we have parents who don't know these things to teach it to their kids.
Absolutely.
So, you know, somewhere along the way, there was a, like, scissors came along and cut the cycle, the virtuous cycle of teaching good manners and teaching respect and teaching excellence and teaching all of, you know, and providing that moral compass, you know?
Right. And, you know, and the reality is, you can see how character education is a great tool, because reality, Cy, if you're a teacher and you're in the classroom and you only have 45 or 50 minutes, you don't have 30 minutes to get everybody together, to get them to calm down. And these are grown kids, 15, 16, 17 years old, to get them to be intelligent, stop playing around. If they understand the rules of engagement and they understand the etiquette, if they were taught this from elementary to where they are now in high school, then it wouldn't be so much chaos, honestly, in the classrooms. That's why, you know, I think that character education really should just be something that is in all the schools. I think it should just be, I really think it should be, be mandatory, because, you know, teachers would tell you, oh, my goodness, I have 45 minutes and I spend 30 minutes trying to get this one to stop bothering, that one to stop fighting, that one to stop being disrespectful in that corner. So, that's why it's important. And once again, we're talking to Cy Sigatory, our guest, and the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence. Now, Cy, I know that you you also created the program that incorporated gentlemen, right? Grooming gentlemen.
Yes.
How does the boys handle the course when you present it to them, the teen boys as well as the younger boys, especially the teen boys?
So we have lessons in gracious living, that's for the young ladies, middle school through high school. We have lessons in grooming a gentleman, that's middle school through high school, and we have the charming child, which works with elementary age kids. Now, the young men absolutely love lessons in grooming a gentleman. And the main reason that these young men love this program is because no one has given them such a quality character building and etiquette curriculum with such high standards, and then the tools to get to reach those high standards. People make assumptions about certain socioeconomic characteristics and assume that people aren't going to, that these young men are not going to want to learn it, and that's just not the case. They eat it up because they're like a dry sponge thrown in the ocean. They're just going to soak it up. It's something that they want. It's the type of lifestyle that everybody wants to live. And it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic conditions are. You know, a lot of families, including my own, started working class. You know, going back to my great grandfather, Thurston Whitaker I, he was working class. And everybody in that neighborhood were gentlemen. I remember, ladies and gentlemen, my mom, you know, listening to some of the stories that my mom told me growing up in Norfolk, Virginia, and how the neighborhood used to be, I remember her telling me that there was a wreath that was on the door that signified that that a woman had lost her husband and that she was in mourning. And that was in a working class neighborhood. And it's because that is the way that things were. And it's unfortunate that some people think, I most certainly do not, but some people think that this is just for people who are of a higher socioeconomic class. And that's just not true. It's just not true. You know, so these lessons teach all young men of every socioeconomic condition to be gentlemen. And we know from all from watching TV and watching the news that crime happens and people behaving badly happen
right.
all over the place. And with any kind of description of person, both genders and all of that. So
that's right. My grandmother always says, right and wrong does not have a color.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't have an economic class. It doesn't have a religion. It doesn't have a place in the country. It doesn't have a faith. It just
has,
you know, a body that's occupying it at the time when they're doing something wrong. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So when we have the best is when a school or an after-school program has a girls' program and a boys' program that are running concurrently, and when they have those activities, the guys and the girls can go out together. But that's when, that's when.
Yes.
And so you'll see guys who would raise all kind of trouble in the school, running around the schools, getting on people's nerves when they're in this program, and when they have to go out with the girls. Like one of the events is learning how to waltz and learning the rules of a waltz or learning the rules of a dance. And so the ladies
right.
sit down and the gentlemen go over and ask the girls to dance and they look so cute. They're so shy and sheepish, but they go over and do it and it's just so adorable. And it just goes to show, it's like 5 minutes you were getting on everybody's nerve at the school, but now you're doing this. And this just goes to show that when given the opportunity and given the choice, once again, it goes back to you have 80 choices and I have 4. And
right.
so, you know, learning how to conduct yourself and being a gentleman and expecting ladies to act like ladies and, you know, ladies doing what they're supposed to do to be ladies and those things, that really makes a difference in how someone conducts themselves. Now, the one thing that we should touch on, and I don't think that we've touched on, is shame. Without having any culpability, our society has basically relinquished shame. And going back to that situation on the train with the young man and the older man, that young man would have been too ashamed to rush to sit down when two women and an older gentleman needed a seat. You know, that would have, you know what I mean? That would have been shameful. But if nobody is responsible for the things that they do, then there's no shame because people didn't do anything wrong because they were temporarily out of their minds or temporarily not responsible for their actions. So,
that's right.
You know, shame used to be the little whip that would keep everybody in line, men, women, and children.
And see, and there you go. And that's why it's important to grow up in communities of character. And to the ladies and gentlemen online, if you want to call in and ask Sia a question about character education, you can do that at 347-215-8381. And once again, the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence? So I think that character education should be a must. That's me. I think it should be a must. I think it should be mandatory. Now, when you talk to you know, schools or parents, do you find that it is something that many of these parents want or many educators want in their school system?
Oh my goodness, they all want it. They all want it. And when I say what it is, the first sentence almost verbatim is, "My God, these kids need it." Or these kids sure need it, and I know some parents need it too.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I believe if this is, you know, if this can be start, if this can start at the elementary level, then mm-hmm. we would see a decrease in the teen drinking and driving, in the random shooting, and, oh, wow, you looked at me funny, I want to kill you now. We would really see a decrease in that, because if you're learning at 5 and 6 and 7 how to relate to other human beings in kindness, with respect, and you and being a person of character is something that's important to you, then it would be very difficult for you to be 16 and 17 and you want to jump behind the wheel and drive drunk knowing that you can hurt somebody else. Oh, knowing that, you know, your actions could now cause someone to go to a funeral. Yeah, so I think it's starting there. Now, are you finding that some of the schools have embraced this, or is it not as many? What are you finding?
Well, you know, the schools do embrace it. A lot of times they embrace them as an after-school program or if they want to address the issue of bullying. And part of the when you have a kid who is bullying or being bullied, they have the same issue on either side of the coin. On one side of the coin, they have low self-esteem and they're being bullied. On the other side of the coin, they have low self-esteem and they're bullying. And in order to really address that issue of bullying, we have to do it on both sides, because that bully is going to grow up to continue to bully people. And that bully is going to get bigger. A lot of the times these bullies are guys, and they're going to get bigger and stronger, and their bullying is going to take on different forms. And we want to prevent that from growing into something that becomes even more criminal and more dangerous for all of us, you know?
That's right.
At the core of bullying on the bullying end is a lack of respect for themselves and how they treat themselves, because if they valued themselves as a human being, then they would understand that that other person is a human being and that other person has feelings and emotions and vulnerabilities just like they do. And if they had the security to recognize that, then they most certainly would not want to treat somebody else like that. And so, you know, building that sense of humanity back into our society is something that, you know, it is at the core of why we have these interpersonal, you know, deteriorating relationships. And then on the receiving end of being bullied, I think it's fear, it's low self-esteem, and it's also, once again, lack of options in terms of what is it that I'm supposed to do if I tell a teacher or tell this particular student, you know, to stop and from regard, how is that going to be looked? How is that going to be viewed? If our society has changed its moral compass where being weak is something that's bad as opposed to being aggressive and mean and instigating something is okay, then what are my options when I'm the person that's receiving this type of bullying, you know?
Right.
So
right.
I think that is a very unfortunate, violent, dangerous example of how when we continue to take responsibility away from our own actions, we end up with people who bully other people. And from their perspective, why shouldn't they? They're not going to have to suffer any consequences. They can write it off as whatever excuse of the day is acceptable at that time. And so those external societal factors contribute to this rise in bullying.
Right. Now, a question. I want you to ponder on this question. I'm going to also come back and give you a quote regarding this question, but I want you to ponder, and then we're going to take a short break. How do children develop good character? And to our parental listeners, once again, if you want to call in, we're at 347-215-8381. And we're going to take our last break, and we'll be back with our final thought and our wonderful guest, Cy Singletary.
Welcome to RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, with your host, crisis dramatist, playwright, life coach, NLP master practitioner, and independent filmmaker Phyllis Helene, as she empowers humanity to raise their consciousness with family-oriented dramatic plays that honor the power of choice.
And we're back, and the topic on the table, how do we empower young adults to stand on excellence via character education? And once again, the question, how do children develop good character? And Professor Thomas Lacona answered, and I quote, "Children are most likely to become persons of character when they grow up in communities of character, where there is an effort on the part of families, schools, churches, temples, mosques, the media, the government, sports leagues, the Chamber of Commerce, everyone who has the opportunity to influence the values of young people to both model and teach these character qualities. That's a huge challenge, and we've seen for at least three decades a decline in the quality of everyday moral life in things as simple as civility, people's manners in public places, and courtesy on the road. It requires a society-wide effort to restore the moral fabric." And that is the answer from Professor Thomas Lacona. And that also speaks to what you were saying about the train situation, Si, about, the guy just sitting there. But, yeah, so, what do you say?
I totally agree with that. And, the greater society is a conglomerate of people who live in homes next to yours. So if we want to break it down, and if we take the people out of the mosque and take the people out of the school and take them out of a chamber of commerce and out of a church and out of a synagogue, and when they walk home, they're going into their house, and their house is next to your house. And so they're people is basically what I'm saying. And if we all subscribe to a code of conduct, then when we are all out into our secondary lives, our primary lives being inside of our homes, and we're all out in our secondary lives, then we'll know what those rules are. And so it definitely has to start in the home. Ideally, it starts in the home, where kids are reprimanded for doing the wrong thing, and it's explained to them why it's wrong. Now, explaining to a kid why something is wrong and teaching them the right thing to do is not kowtowing to children, and it's not letting the child run the household, which that makes zero sense to me.
Stop. Please stop for a minute. I want you to say that again. You said what? Don't let the child run the household? Please say that again.
I said letting your child run the household makes zero sense to me.
There you go.
Because that child is going to grow up to be nervous, uncomfortable, aggressive, and rude because they know that innately, they know that you are the adult, and you are supposed to be the one to provide some boundaries. And when, I have taught kids who, once again, have spanned the socioeconomic spectrum, okay? And the kids who had families who were, they had adults running the household in a healthy environment, the kids were well-behaved and well-mannered. Mm-hmm. And on the flip end, when I had kids who came from families where their parents did not run the household, the kids were aggressive and rude and disrespectful and out of line. And I always laid out the rules in my classroom. You will not use that tone with me. You will not use those words with me. You will not raise your voice with me. And I lay it out to them once, and I only need to do it once because they know that I'm not kidding around and that I am the adult. I am not your friend. Because I'm grown.
Right.
You're not grown. And your child, and I'm going to treat you like a child. And in today's society, as an adult saying, I'm going to treat you like a child, those are bad words. They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. I'm your friend should be a bad word because I'm grown and I pay taxes and you still believe in Santa Claus. So I'm running the show here.
Exactly.
You know, so that shouldn't, you know, that shouldn't be earth-shattering stuff here, you know?
It sure shouldn't. It really shouldn't. And ladies and gentlemen, I urge you once again to check out Thurston Whitaker. I invite you to get the Lessons in Gracious Living. And, you know, for some of you who've been listening to me for a while, you know that I always invite parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and concerned neighbors to host a Raising Consciousness luncheon or a dinner for the young adults in your life that you love it, and use the play to discuss a particular social issue. And the play, Don't Lose Your Head, of course, the social issue is teen drinking and driving. And once again, plays are an excellent vehicle because people can take turns, the students can take turns in reading the characters. Plays are about dialogue. And as you listen to the characters and speak the words of the characters, you can focus on the scenes that strike you. You can imagine the images or moments that catch your attention. And when you host this Raising Consciousness party or luncheon, I urge you to please make sure that Lessons in Gracious Living is a part of that event. And I invite educators to please welcome the Raising Consciousness Stage Collection to become literary fabric on the walls of every classroom, every drama classroom, every literature classroom in high school and colleges across America. And I invite you once again to get the Lessons in Gracious Living. Now, Sai, you all in your program, you also offer workbooks as well, right?
Yes. So the curriculum comes as a teacher's guide, a student workbook, and assessment units that has tests and quizzes, et cetera. They are in line with the Common Core standards that have been adopted by basically every state in the country. And we also have online resources, and we provide program support for anyone who wants to use this curriculum as an in-class curriculum or an after-school program. Now, Thurston Whitaker also has English curriculum for 7th and 8th grade, which is in line with Common Core standards. And that is also related to building character, because this material is challenging. And so it teaches kids that they have to, first of all, be educated. They've got to learn classics. And they have to face the challenges even when they don't want to, you know.
Yes.
So we have all of that under the umbrella at ThurstonWhitaker.com. Or if you would prefer, you can call at 917-435-3157. Or you can email at Sai@ThurstonWhitaker.com. And Sai is spelled S as in Sam, Y as in yellow. So that's Sai@ThurstonWhitaker.com.
Cool. Now, Sai, give the phone number again in case somebody had to run and get a pencil and they were scrambling for a pen or paper. So give the phone number again.
Sure. It's 917-435-3157. And I can also give the fax number. It's 860-404-0571.
Wonderful. And Sai, I want to thank you for raising our consciousness today about character education, character building, because I believe, as I said, I believe it should be mandatory in all the educational institutions, because this makes an adult, I believe, accountable, responsible. This implements a moral compass in one's life. And I also believe this can move our young adults from walking around in that unconscious state of being to that conscious state of being, and understanding that every choice has a consequence. And, you know, a lot of times we don't think about how this affects me and this affects me, but character building should be part of every educational system, because it goes back to what Roosevelt said, to educate a man in mind and not in character is to educate a menace to society.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we have seen some menaces in society, so we want to eliminate that, and we want our young adults to stand on excellence and empowering young adults by way of character education. That's the best place to start. So I want to thank you for sharing with us, and I'm sure, you know, people will give you a call and want to bring this into their homeschool body. Oh, you know, for some people who never heard of it, they'll be like, oh, wow, you know what? Maybe my daughter's school might be interested. Or maybe my son's school. Or maybe one of the teachers, you know, because maybe the school might not want it, but maybe a teacher could implement it, in their homeroom. So, you know, it's there. So I just want to say thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I hope you come back again.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for having me here. I would absolutely love to come back. And, you know, maybe we can do some role-playing or something like that, and we can tap into your artistic talent in terms of dealing with this issue. But I absolutely would love, love, love to come back and be a part of Raising Consciousness.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And once again, join me next week to continue the conversation, and we'll take some time to raise our consciousness. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Sigh. Signatory. Have a great day. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to crisis dramatist Phyllis Selene, the playwright who helps community to stand on excellence, using art as the catalyst to raise the consciousness of humanity. RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, LLC. Visit www.abookisyourbestfriend.org and www.mentoringarts.org. You've been listening to crisis dramatist Phyllis Selene, the playwright who helps community to stand on excellence, using art as the catalyst to raise the consciousness of humanity. RCR, Raising Consciousness Radio, LLC. Visit www.abookisyourbestfriend.org and www.mentoringarts.org.